For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to the Fantasy NBA Today podcast.
All right, figured I'd do the fade out before we started talking. It makes it easier for me to edit after the fact for the non-live audience. Welcome, one and all, to Friday's first Friday of the offseason. Still bugs me when I say
what's,
it.
What's that? What's that for? This is the greatest weekend of the year.
I know, but I miss fantasy sports. By the way, Dan Bassbrus, Aaron Brewski here with you on this Friday. You don't like when you hit this point, you don't miss fantasy sports?
Oh no, I do. I'm going through withdrawals just like the rest of you guys. It's bad. It's really bad.
I don't know what to I can check the box scores. I can watch these games, but then I go to my league page and I can't do anything with it. I guess someone should be like, Dan, get in a dynasty league. But also at the same time, I'm like, yeah, I also don't really have the time for that. So that's the other side of that equation. Welcome, everybody, to Fantasy NBA Today, a SportsEthos.com presentation. I am Dan Bassbrus, and I am joined by the one, the only, the big dog. Hark, what do I hear?
Rough.
Yeah, the big dog's a little tired this morning.
Yeah, this is dragon ass territory. They say that the season ends and you get a big break, but that's a big fat lie.
Yeah, and also the letdown is real. Like, I don't know. Do you feel that same thing? I get in this sort of like this what now moment, and I just start doing random things that don't need to be done.
Yeah, for those of you who don't know, getting in the 10th week of my recovery from TOS surgery, I still have quite a bit of reliance on people, technology, things to just basically do my daily work. So working with Andre all season to work with these high stakes leagues, the two of us lost years off our life this last weekend.
Oh, no. And I want everybody to hear the story. So very quickly, for everybody that's tuning in, we got a really cool docket for you today. Brew and I are going to be going over the playoff series, series odds, things of that nature. We got the play-in games tonight. Those should be a lot of fun. And also, Brew, and I know you tweeted it, but just in case anybody just didn't see it, you took home a big fat fatty prize in one of those big money leagues. And it sounds like it came down to like the last few seconds of the last game on that final Sunday afternoon.
I think so. I honestly, I think it did. There was a steal by Devin Booker that didn't even get recorded as a steal at the time. But then also the stat provider had not been counting Memphis games for some reason. And we were just sussing all of this out in real time. You know, there's a big fat amount of money on the line. And between that and just, I love the last day of the season. There's two separate slates, East and West, 15 games going on that day. Or I don't know, is it all entirely East and West? Does that math pan out?
Sort of. Yeah, there's like a couple of crossover where the Western teams that are like on Central Time kind of stuff.
Yeah, it was great. There's so much going on. And in classic silly season fashion, that last week is just so all over the board. It's a great strategy. You know, people in head-to-head complain about this, from basically the last three-fifths of the season, it feels like.
I was going to say, aim high.
Yeah. In Roto, it's a wonderful thing, like, because this is coming. So what's a part of the strategy a couple weeks, with 2 to 3 weeks to go? If you're attached to your names, it's almost bad to have good players. In a sense, because you're like, I can't really get rid of this guy, but you're pretty sure he's not playing in at least one or if not both of the, the last two games of the season. So you really have to just kind of dial in to the absolute what's going on the ground, which players are playing, which ones aren't. So you have these lineups that are all over the board. It's just this wonderful, you're not fighting it, you're embracing it. in Roto. So yeah, I was, it shaved a couple years off of mine and poor Andre's life. We was sitting there sick as a dog at a park, you know, can't keep the snot from running down my face because everybody in the world is sick with allergies and my kids having a great time playing. And I'm just staring at the stat tracker, just watching the steals meter go up and down, up and down, up and down. Lots of money on the line. It was fun.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, I and this is the, again, kind of like the Roto side of things. In one of the Yahoo Roto leagues that I'm in, if you look at the last, let's see, what is this? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. If you look at the last 14 moves made in that league, 10 of them were me. And they were on the last 2 days of the regular season. I had 5 ad drops the final Friday, basically, because nobody played Saturday. And then I had 5 more on the final Sunday for exactly what you're talking about. In Roto, you're like, I don't care. I dropped, I think Porzingis got dropped in that mess. Who else was not playing down the last few games where you could just cast him off into the breeze? And it didn't matter. But you're right. That's the kind of stuff that drives head-to-head players insane. It's why head-to-head leagues need to end super-duper early. And for Roto, you got your good stuff. I got my good stuff out of Porzingis in that league. I know he missed a bunch of ball games, but there was a games cap. So, I got basically what I was hoping for when I took him. And then the last couple of games, week or so, I can go pick up somebody else that can attack a category I'm looking for. So that type of stuff is, like you said, very common in Roto. And I'm with you because you're dumping everybody last few games and trying to squeeze out whatever categories you can get. What, Brew, how did the leagues go overall? Because it's off-season time right now. We can talk about whatever we want. How'd your leagues go?
Yeah, this was a really phenomenal season. And, you know, of course, it's like, I kind of wondered if this was the one, you know, if you're going to ever hit the ball off the bat as square as you're ever going to hit it in your life, you know, the best shot you've ever taken. This one was in play there for a little bit. We ended up, in terms of competition, not even really like Brewski 150 stuff, just like mid-season pickups. Like we had angles on some, because we were so far ahead in certain leagues. We had angles on, you know, some of these high impact stashes that just didn't pan out. And so I think the confluence of having the big leads and wanting to just take more. I mean, what did Marcus Smart hurt himself doing? Celebrating? Like,
oh, you know, who knows? That one was done early, wasn't it?
It was, well, I mean, it was kind of come back and play, and then he just, you know, did that little 3-point celebration and hurt his finger. And then, you know, that kind of stuff can snowball where, you know, a team's not good enough or maybe bad enough, depending on the context, to do what they might have done otherwise. So I think we lost a little bit there. But I mean, out of 5 high stakes leagues in the high stakes league provider of the day, they
said a high stakes provider may have had some slight marketing issues this year.
Yeah, we're just trying to kind of, you know, go.
You know what? Listen, look, we don't have to be coy about it. Mike Breen did it on the big broadcast the other. I think that was what game was that? Oh Lord, was that the was it Kings Dubs or was it no? It was the one in between. All I know is he was like everybody. Oh, it was the Sixers game. I remember it was the Sixers game because it kind of woke him up, and he was like, everybody's getting free chicken. And then there was this pause and he was like, we can't say who what the provider is because they're not a sponsor, but boy, they love their chicken out here. And that's the same thing we're doing right now. Mike Breen in it.
Yeah. Mike Breen in it. But out of 5 of those squads, we had a first, a second, and a third.
Mm.
And I feel like we left so much on the table. So a great season. I mean, and, you know, just from the B150 was super successful this year. So, yeah, we just cleaned up.
What is the big dog do with big winnings on a year like that? Is this like go into like life savings or is this like go treat yourself?
You know, I ain't got time to treat myself. I wish I did. And I mean, obviously some super nice vacation would be great. I think we should take the company out to go see Andre.
I agree. Company to Madeira.
Because Madeira seems pretty nice.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
No, I don't got anything. I just want to take a long nap. I would pay anything for just a long nap.
I promise you, that you can, if you sign up for care.com, there are enough people there you could pay to set it up where someone's taking care of both you and your child. Just call yourself like senior care. They don't
You're
have to ask me.
That, aren't you? You're doing the care.com, aren't you?
No, we actually never did it. I shouldn't even reveal this because it feels very unsafe, I guess. But like we mostly just found our nannies like through existing nannies. It's like the first one was like the nanny for a neighbor kid, and then they got old, and so they just popped over to us. And then the second one was like a nanny that we met at the library who was about to move between families. And we honestly, I think care.com probably would have been smart to like do background checks and stuff. Our most recent one is a friend of my wife's younger sister. So that one was a lot simpler. We actually knew who the person was. They were properly vetted. But our kids are okay for now. So anyway,
I mean, to kind of go behind the curtain with stuff, it's like, The surgery was a success so far. There was a 2-week period where I started going backwards, and it was actually ended up being kind of a PT experimental, you know, sort of a deal. They want you to push into the activities that you need to do to get, you know, your body right. And then if you have a setback, they just say, okay, we're going to stop that and we'll, you know, chill out for a couple weeks. And it totally was the case. We took a step back, stopped doing as much weight bearing stuff. And so that surgery has saved, or not saved, I don't want to get over my skis, but that surgery has allowed me to like not die doing this.
Yay,
work.
Yay, that's a positive.
Yeah, yeah.
Not dead.
But there's a backlog of backlogs that's just crazy. All these things that we've wanted to do and all these things that I've wanted to do. And so that's really, I think, at the end of the day, with this off season, you know, just getting the slightest amount of rest has already been just massive for me. And so I'm really looking forward to that. But, you know, the playoffs are, you know, they're big for us. You know, the wager pass is something that, you know, I've done every year during the playoffs. I really enjoy it. I think playoff betting is, to me, like, as good as like the fantasy draft.
Oh yeah, without well, I mean, so I don't know if I'd go quite that far, but I think it's one of the easiest things. Okay, easy is not the right word for it, but one of the most
opportunity.
Yeah, opportunity. It's a great opportunity because someone who understands basketball really well can see what's happening and understand also what a team is about to do about it, because you can. They're seeing the same team over and over again. So you see someone getting exploited in one thing, the other club's going to make that switch either at halftime or between ball games more commonly. So you're like, okay, this one worked a lot. That's not going to work in the first two quarters next ball game. This game might slide to the under. Little things like that where during the regular season, teams play each other two times in a row, a couple of times. Everybody's got those home and homes or whatever, road and roads. But because teams bounce between opponents all year long, there just isn't the kind of prep and game planning that you can bet into as a bettor in the playoffs. And this, by the way, is a terrific segue to what we're really going to be talking about on today's show. Brew, I'm going to ask you, do you want to do play in or playoffs first?
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I don't care. I'm ready. I actually, me and Kaz, for the Kaz and Bruce show, we just did 8 series and a play-in. We just did it over about an hour 15. So I'll release that. So if you want, like, I'm sure we can't get into everything on this show.
We'll
it was hard
best.
Enough for us to do what we were doing over there, and we weren't talking about any of this stuff.
Yeah, we're going to do our best. Let's do play-in first. I'll throw it up on the screen for those that are watching live. Here are the lines on the play-in games today. Chicago at Miami. Miami's down Jimmy Butler and Terry Rozier. Bulls are still a 1.5-point underdog, but again, not a neutral site. Game is in Miami, total of 206. Sacramento in New Orleans. Pick 'em on the line. 210.5 is the total.
Yeah, that thing's been dancing.
Yeah. No Zion, So we have some big injuries at play on both sides of this game. The home teams, actually, are the ones that are sort of getting a leg chopped out. Brew, can either home team survive without their big names? And then what does it mean for a total in these? And we'll just kick it back and forth for a minute or two.
Yeah, so I actually did a fairly not deep, if I could have had my way, write up on Kings and Pelicans. And I guess because you guys are such great listeners and you guys have supported Dan all year.
That's kind of you.
I'll go ahead and release a pick or five here. apparently. I don't think there's an outright, you know, I wouldn't play this game if I didn't have, you know, at least like, you know, some pretty good corporate knowledge of the Kings and, you know, kind of want to make a play here just to have some skin in the game. This is a really close, as evidenced by the line. It was Pelicans. I got Pelicans for the wager pass a day and a half, 2 days ago at plus 1.5. So they're, I think the line is swinging back over. You might see by game time, possibly, depending on when the sharp money comes in at the end, that the Pelicans are favored by like 1.5, 2 or something. But there's the big question. I mean, New Orleans beat up on the Kings bad all year long.
Yeah, and lopsided.
Zion, the Kings just don't have even something remotely close to deal with Zion. So that was part of it, not all of it. The other is that for 3 of the 5 games, De'Aaron Fox had these shooting lines that were just absolutely putrid. 5 of 18, 1 of 10, 10 of 25. And there was a quote that I threw out there from Zion after one of those games where, I mean, he's just gloating about the job that Herb Jones is doing on De'Aaron Fox in those games. So that's going to be an issue. And they got all sorts of length there. Sacramento, because they don't have Malik Monk, you know, is going to rely on Fox and Sabonis. They've got to be great, both of them. Sabonis is typically good against Jonas Valanciunas, but not great because, you know, they lay tire tracks into the court and Valanciunas can match his strength. But if you're really just looking at Fox, can he break free? And it's not just Herb Jones, it's Trey Murphy. And the guy you're going to want to watch at the swing of the quarters, at the turn of the quarters, is Jose Alvarado. Sacramento's had so much lack of mental toughness over the last month. This really is a gift that they don't see Zion, and they're able to kind of slay some demons with the win over Golden State. So they're probably not feeling as terrible as they've felt for the last 3 or 4 weeks. When the mental toughness has really been in the basement. But if you get Jose Alvarado out there, you know, trying to get into De'Aaron Fox's head and that entire team, organization, city, you know, you name it in Sacramento, they have this really bad issue with fouls. Like, it gets into their head. They think the entire league is out to get them. Does a small market get as many calls as the Los Angeles Lakers? No. You know, everybody knows that. Everybody in the league deals with this stuff. Everybody in the league deals with bad foul calls. This stuff gets into their head. And if Alvarado gets into Fox's head and Fox has got to go for 40 or 30 and be good and set tempo and pace. And sorry, I'm monologuing here, Dan. I know you want to kill me.
Nope.
But it's like that's the way it goes south on the road. You know, and I don't know if New Orleans is going to show out for this game. Like, you know, I felt like maybe down the stretch their arena wasn't as full as it could have been. But, you know, you're on the road, these big momentum plays, you go down and you try to do one of these bully ball Euro things that both Fox and you know, everybody in the league is kind of addicted to now. If they're not calling that, and you're throwing your hands up in the air, trying to get your foul call, and the action's going the other way, and somebody out there hits a big three, you know, this is how things start to topple. So I'm worried. You know, for the Kings, and I am taking the Pelicans here, though. If I had a gun to my head, I don't know if I would bet this game.
Yeah, I have a lot of trouble personally betting this one. Also, I, you know, listeners know that I tend to lean towards unders in games like this one. What is effectively winner take all. It's both of these games. If you win it, you're in the playoffs. You're probably going to get decimated, but if you win it, you're in the playoffs. And if you don't, you're done. And that tends to create this slower tempo. And you and I talked, I think, on a not on a podcast, just about how these teams get exhausted by the third quarter because no one's played any defense all year, and now suddenly they're expected to on a dime, and they're out of gas halfway through the damn ball game. Now, looking back at the other one, the Heat are so beat up right now, and yet there's still fleeting hope. I mean, are people overestimating the whole idea of Heat culture? Because the fact that the Bulls were only a 3-point favorite against the god-awful Hawks seemed like a big surprise. I thought that might have been a trap line, and I didn't do anything with it. And then the Bulls, as I think everybody expected, just smoked them because Atlanta can't guard anybody. But at least we know the Heat can guard people. How do you think game one shakes out? And you don't have to give us a play or anything. I just sort of getting your feel for what's the tempo going to be like. Is it going to be a wake-up call for Chicago after having a coasting first game? Does Miami have enough firepower to hang in this one?
I don't know if they got the report back on... sorry, it's going to get a little loud here in the background. We got a garbage can, I don't know, roughly 15 yards from us right now doing its thing. But yeah, basically what I'm trying to figure out on the Bulls side is actually not much. I think this team is really well positioned, sort of like playing with house money. They, you know, if they lose, nobody cares. They're going to be fine, you know, in their little middling trajectory for the rest of their lives. But Caruso, yeah. If he plays and it kind of seems like he's going to, then that's huge for them because that sort of cinches up the only question mark that I have for those guys. They are going to come in, play the same brand of ball they've played forever, whereas Miami is going to have to really shuffle things around, try to figure out where they're going to get offense from. You know, I'd be more aggressive betting Chicago here, but there's this kind of like tendency for Miami to beat expectations. They've got a Hall of Fame coach playing at home. You wonder if the house money effect has a limit to it, but their core is rock solid for what they are, Chicago. You know where your shots are coming from. Everybody needs to get a full diet of them. You know, you've got a lot of good scrappy you know, role players like Caruso, though who knows with that guy. I mean, he it feels like he takes like 10 shots of like whatever they give players in the locker room before every game.
Yeah, and his body's held together
and such.
Yeah, and if he's not gonna turn an ankle or get hurt by, you know, some weird play, he's gonna get freaking steam trained by his teammate, which is what happened in the first one. He got run down by Andre Drummond, who's just taking prisoners right now on his own team.
Yeah,
Drummond, come on, man.
That 3-on-0 fast break.
Oh my god.
That's just...
Well, I mean, they could maybe make some of that embarrassment go away if they make the playoffs. Pretty fair to say whoever wins this one is going to get destroyed by Boston, because the Celtics are a machine this year that they definitely weren't the last couple.
And that's actually, that plays into this for me, like Chicago playing light and flowy. Like, they know that this is their last game. You know, they don't have really anything to deal with beyond this outcome. You know, Miami's kind of got some existential questions. You know, is Jimmy Butler going to work out long term? Kind of a, you know, is a surrounding your team with Jim, you know, is Jimmy is your number one guy? What are you doing with Bam Adebayo? Can this combo of players, yeah, they're the Heat, they will retool, you know, but this is disappointing, you know, this kind of last 3, 4, 5 years, even though they've made it far, you know, they haven't really been able to do the things that Pat Riley wants to do.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. You got any thoughts on the totals? I basically just start with the under and then try to convince myself not to. I feel like I kind of have to, even in these ones. Sacramento, New Orleans is a bit of a question mark. I mean, I know that that number is obscenely low for Miami, Chicago, but you got to think the Heat are not going to be trying to run and gun with a team that has way more offensive firepower than they do in this one.
Yeah, you know, I really would want to look at the ref assignment for the Chicago-Miami game and just kind of see what you're working with there. But Sac, they're interesting in that, like, they have to play small right now with Keon Davion Mitchell. There's just no way around it. And that last game with the Warriors was perfect. Those two should have been on the floor as much as possible. And Keon Ellis is very good. You know, and Davion's got a little bit of improvement with his three-point shooting, obviously an amazing defender. But when you start adding size against them, they can get diminished really quick. So what does that mean? I don't know. Like it could mean that the Kings say, all right, because these guys are ineffective, we have to kind of just throw whatever we can at a run and gun game and, you know, just maybe try to lull them into some sort of a shooting contest. Or, you know, does it not happen like that? And, you know, Keon actually helps them offensively. You know, so there's a couple different ways that this thing can spin. But I would probably want to play the under, and I just get concerned that the Kings try to turn it into a track meet.
All right, let's talk about a little series stuff now, since that's also on the docket. We have 6 of the 8 matchups for over the weekend. I was trying to figure out the best way to get this stuff to appear for the video feed, and I'm kind of floundering. Oh, wait a minute, this might work. Okay, I think I sorted out the tech side. I just had to zoom in so far that all the weird stuff on the side of the screen disappeared. So here's some various lines people can see. I think we're pulling them down from DraftKings right now. And I'm just going to go the same order that they've got them. Tomorrow. No, these are game lines. Confound it. I wanted a series price. Son of a gun.
I know them off the top of my head.
All right. Well, I can find them. I just, everybody's watching me do a Google search live on air right now. All right, let's talk Orlando-Cleveland. Cleveland, narrow favorite. In fact, basically all of the series are very short odds besides Lakers and Nuggets. Is Donovan Mitchell healthy? That, to me, is the big question in this series because he hasn't looked it down the stretch.
I think that's always going to be a question with him. And then I also just wonder what like incessant rumors will do if this team's back gets against the wall. You know, they fell apart against New York last year. And Mitchell was nuclear to start that series. So, you know, that's just kind of hanging around in the back of my mind. And this series is just super interesting in the fact that, like, these are pretty evenly matched teams, as, you know, 4-5s tend to go. And then it feels to me like how Cleveland handles Paolo Banchero might be the swing move for this thing. You know, Isaac Okoro doesn't have enough weight to be able to handle Banchero. And so you're really going to be looking at Evan Mobley. And Mobley, if you were to draw up a player that could defend a guy like Banchero, that's kind of how you would like it. You know, super long, you know, very athletic, can slide feet left to right, can protect the rim, you know, kind of take away the interior. But that's not really Paolo's game so much as it is being versatile with, you know, long twos and step backs, and then also being able to use his strength to get to the rim. So it's like, I think Mobley's going to have his hands full, even if that's the way that it ends up going. And yet another loud vehicle. That time somebody going 500 miles an hour in a school zone.
It seems reasonable.
Get off my lawn, people. But yeah, I think that if you see Banchero able to really, truly gash them, it's going to open up everything for everybody else. And the rest of the team isn't in as good as a position as Banchero. They might need, you know, that. And then I do like Orlando's guards. I think this will be Jalen Suggs coming out party.
Yeah, he's going to undress Darius Garland at some point in that series. I also think there's a little bit of value on the Magic side. And you can also, of course, as you're playing series prices, folks, you can kind of navigate as the games go. You don't have to be locked into something from the outset. What about Sixers-Knicks? Knicks are a -120, very short favorite. And the Knicks are, I think I said that, but just to be clear, the Sixers, you basically get an even odds, which is your underdog price. I thought the Sixers looked absolutely horrible in their play-in game, and I have almost no faith that Joel Embiid is healthy. Now, of course, if he is healthy, they're better than the Knicks, but he's not, right? I'm not making that up.
I'll put it to you this way. I don't even know if they're better with him healthy.
I understand the power
of Joel Embiid. Like, he's Joel Embiid. He's not healthy.
No, he's not.
Philly has a lot of issues, but this is actually a really nerdy series You know, there's a lot of nerdy stuff going on. You got Kyle Lowry thrust into this leadership position on a Nick Nurse team.
Classic.
And, you know, if there's one complaint, or probably multiple complaints about Joel Embiid with health and such, but, like, you know, if there's one complaint, it's that he's just constantly trying to draw fouls. So let's bring in Kyle Lowry to encourage all that. I mean, so there's fun little things going on all over the game. Tobias Harris, is he on his way out? Probably.
Probably.
You know, Buddy Hield is improving his awareness and his defense as he goes, but he's also 500 years old, you know, according to his birth certificate. So, like, he's slower every year he's in the league. And so it's like, he's just kind of hovering there with what he does, which is shoot well. And then, you know, do a little good stuff on offense, but largely defensively is a major problem. You got Melton's back is really jacked up. I don't think he can give them anything, which would be nice against a Jalen Brunson. So you just got a lot going on. Batum, you know, showing up in big moments, but can he do it for multiple games? So I don't know. Philly's just like this mix of things, but if they're not going to be healthy at the Joel Embiid level, like, for me, it's just the Knicks all the way.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. I think these are going in order of timing, but I'm not entirely positive here. No, you know what? Some of the times on these might be wrong. Whatever. We'll just go in order of what I've got on the screen. I managed to screenshot a website, so that's up there now. Phoenix Suns, -135 as the road team in this series against the Timberwolves. Suns have had the Wolves number all season long, which just at like a glance from a matchup standpoint does kind of make sense, because the Suns have all these dudes that are very good at the mid-range, and the Wolves are good at defending the three and around the bucket. But they, as you would if you have Rudy Gobert as your anchor, you're probably going to be playing a little bit of drop, which opens up that mid-range. And the Suns have had a lot of success. Was that brew a byproduct of just regular season stuff? Or is just it's a really bad matchup for the Timberwolves?
It's funny because everything you said is extraordinarily true. And I do think it's a function of the regular season. Just schlog of things that happen.
I mean, I'll be rooting, like, money aside, I'll be rooting for the Timberwolves in this series. I'd like to see them advance and see Anthony Edwards, you know, go farther into the playoffs, but that's more of like a root with your heart and not with your brain. So you think the Wolves are going to have a better shot here now come playoff time?
Yeah. I mean, I really just look at the big three for the Phoenix Suns, and I look across at what Minnesota can do with those three. And there's answers on the Minnesota side for each of those three, like Jaden McDaniels against Kevin Durant. Like, you can't draw it up much better than that. Anthony Edwards could, you know, put Devin Booker in his backpack and walk him around the school all day. You know, it's really like, you know, Bradley Beal, you know, there's Mike Conley can probably do a decent job there, you know? And so there's solutions on the Minnesota side that when you flip it, Phoenix doesn't really have, you know, those same solutions. So I really think the only way this doesn't work out for Minnesota is if one, the combo of the two bigs does finally get exposed in the playoffs. But what's why it's not getting exposed is the fact that when you have those three defenders that I just listed for Minnesota, they have so much recovery ability for those. They provide so much recovery ability for those two bigs to show and get back or whatever the scheme is. And then Rudy Gobert finally worked out for lean rather than muscle. And that's probably an obvious thing when you know you're playing next to Karl-Anthony Towns. Those things have allowed this defense to be very, very good. And Anthony Edwards, to me, if you want to tell me he's the best player in the league, I mean, that currently belongs to Nikola Jokic, and somebody's got to take that from him. But I'm not going to laugh you out of the room if you tell me Anthony Edwards is the best player in the league. He's physically at levels that you just don't see, you know. He defends, he shoots, and he's got that dog in him. You know, there's really, you can't ask for much more there.
I am so happy you said that he's got that dog in him. Now we got to put a podcast graphic out where they do the x-ray with the dog inside of it. I like that meme. I don't care that it's done. I still think it's funny. Clippers, Mavs. Mavs are -130 also as the road team in this series. These two clubs will play themselves every playoffs until we're all dead. That's just the rules of the NBA. I don't make them up. I just follow them. You know, we talked about Joel Embiid being healthy in the Sixers-Knicks series. Kawhi Leonard's health is extraordinarily nebulous right now. He's questionable, but the quotes over the weekend, not over the weekend, over the last couple of days has made it seem like he's not quite ready to go. I don't know. For me, Brew, I'd love to be able to bet a home team as an underdog here, but the Clippers are what's Shaq's deal? The Clippers are barbecue chicken if they don't have Kawhi healthy for this series, because the Mavs have been really good since they picked up PJ Washington and Daniel Gafford.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Yeah, I think the, pardon me, as the sickness and the allergies decide to crush me. Yeah, I know. I need a mute button, right? Have you ever heard of one of those? Dallas, I mean, Kyrie and Luka could have really been a big disaster. And that's, I think, kind of what I predicted. It hasn't been. And it's because they've optimized the entire roster for those two guys and brought in a lot of guys that don't need the ball in their hand. And so it's worked really, really well, especially down the stretch here this season. So it's like the question marks on the Dallas side don't exist so much.
Yeah, it's good. It's true.
You know, they're just they're a very known quantity, and it's, you know, Kyrie's kind of stable right now. So you got to like that if you're a Dallas fan. And then on the other side, it's all question marks, you know, like Paul George could be injured at any point in time. And he's the least question marky guy of the three right now. You know, they've got a certain way that they can play. They have their own issues with drop coverage with Zubac. That always shows up in the playoffs. Not sure how much it'll show up in this particular series, but Kawhi is the big question mark. I mean, I think Clippers fans were very hoping that this was just getting ready for the playoffs, but I think there's genuine concern there. And so you take that. James Harden's always a question mark in any regard, no matter what. So that's an issue. And there's also, I think, this like vibe around the team that they're a little bit tired of kind of, I don't want to say each other, but like, it's like they kind of know maybe that they can't win and they're getting ready to do the next thing, whatever the next thing
may be. Yeah, I mean, we've heard Paul George linked to the 76ers already, and we haven't even hit the offseason yet, and Kawhi already signed his extension. I mean, it seems like PG will probably be back, but the fact that those things are getting bounced around now and the playoffs haven't even yet begun, probably not the world's greatest sign.
And a new arena makes things actually, there is a factor with that. Like, the organization's wanting some stability as they get into that building and to really showcase it when you're Steve Ballmer. So that's just a little weird subplot. So when the writing starts to get on the wall with this stuff, because players know about all this stuff way before everybody else, if there is stuff going on, what happens is in the third quarter when your back is against the wall and the other team's just punching the crap out of you, everybody gives up. That's what happens. You never know it until it happens. If it's one of those things where it's like they know before everybody else does about certain moves being made in the future. I don't think that's going to play a big part. I think it probably just be the basketball on the court, but I got Dallas.
Yeah, same. Let's do the other one. That's a tight number before we talk about the blowout series so far, which is kind of surprising that that's the one, but from a basketball standpoint, it makes sense. Pacers, Bucks, likely no Giannis here to start things off. Boy, injuries. Injuries are always the big story of the playoffs, but we got a few big ones even before they've truly begun here. Pacers have also played the Bucks extraordinarily well this season. Is this a similar thing to like what you saw with Suns and Wolves, where the Bucks are going to be better equipped come playoff time, or is the combination of matchups and lack of Giannis going to doom the Bucks before we even get started?
Yeah. You know, I certainly think an injured star theory has got to be working at some level here. You know, if you're playing this series, like One of the things that's been most frustrating, I think, for Milwaukee fans or watchers, and it's not obviously the case during their championship season, but like Giannis doesn't always do the smartest thing with the basketball. So there is some hidden value in that somehow that you're going to get out of some of that stuff. But and I got a lot of like smart, respectable Pacers friends or people, friends in basketball that think the Pacers are going to win this series. So this is a up for grabs series. Watching Tyrese Halliburton as much as I have, he's gotten way better at this season. His athleticism did make the jump. He's got the first step. He can get by people. His sidestep three kind of makes him a little bit gives him wiggle that you wouldn't normally say he has. But if you put an athletic defender on him and or blitz him in the pick and roll with two athletic defenders, or you just have a very good blitz scheme, he will become something else. Not this Tyrese Halliburton of the 25 points and 15 assists and just putting his fingerprints all over the game. He'll still get his in transition and he'll still be a factor. He's not disappearing or anything like that. But the thing he does really well is if you make mistakes or you can't cover him like that, he will beat you every time because he's a tactician. He completely has everything on a string. So that's the kind of that's the balance that he brings to the table. And so I think, you look at the defense of Milwaukee and it's really bad on paper. I mean, you got Damian Lillard, Pat Beverly, Connaughton's going to have to play more. The good news with those threes are all playoff, vets. They've seen everything. They know everything. If you want to give Pat Beverly credit for being a good defender, feel free, credit yourself, credit him. It's a lot of hat and not as much cattle. But
love that expression.
Yeah, it could be competent behind or in front of, I should say, Brooke Lopez. Bobby Portis can be exploited defensively, but in terms of playing at home and getting a crowd riled up and getting his teammates riled up and presenting a toughness to an untested Indiana Pacers squad at many positions. You start to see the outlines of what could be a strategy, provided Doc Rivers can grab it, is blitzing Tyrese effectively and, holding down the fort until Giannis theoretically can get back. So I see a lot of experience on that Milwaukee side. I'm not going heavy on them, but I just like the injured star aspect of this. And I do think that you're going to see that veteran leadership pay off at least in multiple games during this series. And I think they have enough to hold off Indy.
Yeah, and it sort of draws a line to this idea of if you have an idea of how you think a series might go, if it is going to be a long one, that you can find value in sometimes the individual games, or if you think the Bucks win the opener without Giannis and then the Pacers come back and take game two, that's a way you can kind of, I might say hedge a little bit, but oftentimes you can find better lines taking a team on the money line in the spread versus a series price or flip it. So just make sure everybody's kind of checking things out. And then we got to talk about the last one here. This is the one series that's really not, I guess Cavs and Magic is relatively chalky if you're going the Cleveland side, but there's a really good case to be made that the Magic can win that series, whereas Denver, minus 400. I mean, even with the Lakers premium that you have to pay, it's still plus 300. There is no hope in the community that the Lakers can overcome the Nuggets, and there's been no evidence to show that they can. They've lost 8 in a row, and every single game's been exactly the same. It's been close for 42 minutes, and then the Nuggets just stomp them the last 3-6. Brew, is there anything at all you've seen to make anybody in the world think this series could go any different than the last 8 ball games have gone?
Should we put the tinfoil hats on and like get some Kings fans to tell us all about Mike Bibby taking elbows in the face from like Kobe Bryant? Like, I mean, that the league wants the Lakers in the play. I mean, that's kind of the only direction you can travel. I'm not saying any of that's true, but
yeah, no. And they got spanked. Lakers didn't even get one game last year to extend that series.
The way you laid that out there was so perfectly, because like, that's exactly how this is going to go. They're like, the Lakers are good enough to compete, but not good enough to beat them. And if it wasn't for the presence of LeBron James to be able to cover Aaron Gordon, I think it would be much more gory. Because the thing that Denver, when Denver's hitting and kicking on all cylinders, it's that Aaron Gordon high-low game with Nikola Jokic that just absolutely murders teams. Like, it's kind of the final straw all the time. And at least LeBron isn't going to be completely outclassed by Aaron Gordon the way he outclasses everybody else and in sort of an unfair arrangement for the rest of the league. But yeah, I mean, you could theoretically, if you're going to take a minus 400, you know, this is a good one.
I don't think I would advise it. I think your only hope here is, like, if you really wanted to get in on this thing, you try to figure out, is there any game where the Lakers could, like, steal one, maybe even at home, I'm calling it stealing, because they just, but honestly, and this isn't necessarily a knock on the Lakers so much as it is a kudos to the Nuggets in my eyes, and I'd like your take on this as well before we wrap things up. The Nuggets to me still feel like they are head and shoulders above everybody else in the Western Conference. I know that they're basically in a deadlock for the one at the end of the day, but the Nuggets played without Jamal Murray for long stretches, and they mostly played with their eyes closed for the first three to four months of the year in a championship hangover. They're just, like, that starting five in particular is absurd. They're not guardable.
No, and then Jamal Murray can't be guarded by anybody on the LA side.
No, and especially not in the playoffs where he literally makes everything.
Yeah, it's bad, and they got experience, and they're just ready. There's nothing really concerning about them. And I'll add this. Michael Porter Jr. has taken a leap within all of this. And it's what happens when sort of like knuckleheads, you know, get surrounded by Michael Malone's and Nikola Jokic's and Jamal Murray's. And they just sort of bring him along with them. And he's out there playing good defense sometimes.
And he's the less knuckleheady of the Porter Jr. brothers. Whoopsies.
Yeah,
we can't talk about Jonte another time. Yeesh.
Yeah.
Yeesh. Do you think Denver comes out of the West?
I do.
Yeah, same.
I do. I think it's going to be a great playoffs because, I mean, you do have some haymaker teams that could cut through all of this kind of Denver and Boston inevitability.
Who are those teams, quickly before we go?
I think, let me just queue up a list so I can have a visual here. I really think Minnesota. Well, put it to you this way. I had a low number in the betting journal for Wager Pass members. I had a low number of NBA champion bets. Typically, I'll have at least, you know, kind of 5, 6, or 7, but I didn't have as many this time. But and maybe you can kind of make out a strategy based on what I'm saying here, but I highly encourage you to go in there and get the deep dive analysis on that stuff. We win every year, so hopefully this isn't the year that changes, but it's been great. You got the Wolves, obviously. I think they've got punching power. The Thunder technically have it, even though they might have a little bit less of a high-end gear because their lack of a center with girth and strength. So that puts a lot of pressure on the other Jalen Williams. So he's been injured, and I don't know that that's a great feeling for Thunder fans, but theoretically they got it. The Knicks and... That's the end of the list, Bob.
Funny thing is, for me, if I'm looking
Mavs and Clippers. Yeah,
I was gonna say Suns and Mavs were probably the two teams that I would pick out West. In addition to the Wolves, you already mentioned, and of course, two of those teams are playing each other, so that sort of saves
Denver. If
Zion
can get back, I'd throw the Pelicans on the list because if you're a team that can't cover a Zion,
yeah, I just don't know. I think Zion might be done for these playoffs. I know that he just sort of like hurt a hamstring and walked off, but nothing heals fast on that dude.
No, it does not. And you do need a team that doesn't have an answer for him, for them to kind of hit that haymaker, you know, puncher's chance,
right?
You know, type of a team.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be fun one way or the other. Even the Lakers Nuggets series, I think, is going to be kind of fun because even if it's a sweep, they're all going to be decided by like 6 points in the last 5 minutes. It's going to be the same thing all over again, and the only hope in my eyes the Lakers have is that you catch Jamal Murray on like a bad week. That's it.
Yeah,
it's
gonna be a really long week.
It's gonna
like a 9-day week.
Yeah, it's gonna have to be a week that encompasses probably 5 games. Because I'm thinking back to that series last year, and there was the Jokic buzzer beating 3-point fadeaway. That was like the backbreaker in one game. Jamal Murray had one of those in another one. Those games were very close. And then one of those shots, and then the Lakers are like, you know what? We're just going to run an offense where LeBron walks it up. He gets across the timeline at 16. We can run one crummy action, and then Denver's just going to take it right back down our throats. Now, I've seen nothing to indicate the Lakers are going to stop doing that, but their best late-game offense in that series was getting Jamal Murray switched onto LeBron James. But they can't do it at, like, a 9 seconds on the shot clock. It's got to be at, like, 14 or 15.
Yeah, but that would be too much work, Dan, and then, you know, that would require not being as confident in your approach, right? You know, you'd have to actually go out there and do the second and the third actions, and, man, you know, when you could just dribble it down and, you know, just do one thing, that's much easier.
Yeah, I get
it. But I will say that I did put them in my Western portfolio because, like, say something happens with Denver, you know, or maybe they do catch lightning in a bottle. I think this, like, the role players for the Lakers, you know, Russell was sort of freed by, you know, the roster dynamic to be D'Angelo Russell. Austin Reeves is a quality basketball player that can, you know, help. And then you got Rui, who sort of emerged as a quality player for them. But then the one guy that kind of, you know, we haven't seen that much of, and he does this, he did it last year, is Gabe Vincent.
Yeah.
So
he was
big for
Miami.
Bad behind the two stars as they've been in past iterations. So maybe
we'll
there's a chance. So I threw a teeny little unit on it.
A teeny tiny little unit. We went longer than I expected. I apologize. By the way, before we wrap things up, Brew mentioned it. I'm going to mention it harder here on his behalf. The Wager Pass is the way to go over at Sports Ethos right now. The Wager Pass is $15 for an entire month. You not only get all of Brew's playoff betting journal, you get every play that all of the handicappers at Sports Ethos are making every single game, every single night. Again, it's $15 for an entire month, 50 cents a day, basically. And the Wager Pass, the playoff betting journal from Brew alone, has more than paid for that subscription each of the last 4 or 5 years. How long has he been?
I was talking about it. I didn't remember how many years I've done this thing. I think it's 3 at minimum.
Yeah, because I think it was happening basically since COVID. I thought maybe it started even before that, but maybe not. The years all blend together at this point. So check that out. We'll get the link going in some of the show description stuff. It'll be over on Twitter as well. Brew, I thought that we could do this in like 35 or 40, but we failed.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's your mistake. You should know us by now.
I don't.
You should know me by now.
Yeah, but we moved pretty quick for us.
Yeah. Did we talk about 80s movies or anything, or 90s movies?
Really,
or
we were pretty good about that.
Are
today
people complaining in the comments that we're not mainlining their fantasy analysis directly into their brains?
Then we failed. Then we have failed. If we don't get at least one of those, then we've failed. I'm going to take this graphic down for the folks watching so that they can see your handsome photo a little bit clearer. He is at Aaron Brewski over on social. I'm at Dan Vespers. This is Fantasy NBA Today, a SportsEthos.com presentation. Playoffs begin this weekend. Play-ins finish up tonight. Brew, thank you, big dog.
Anytime. I can't wait to do more of these, and I will be around this weekend yelling about basketball, so check me out on Twitter.
As we all should be. He's Brew. I'm Dan. We'll see you guys soon. Later, everybody.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.